in a really tough time in my life. He used Pastor Hoggard for that, and you know, I'm very grateful for that. He just looked me right in my eyes and he just grabbed me and he said, "Don't quit, whatever you do." And amen. 5 years later, 6 years later, 6 years later. Amen. God used that. 6 years almost exactly. In a few weeks, it'll be 6 years exactly. So there are times when trials and heartache come into our lives, and for a pastor, the ministry is a constant battle and a war. He is on the front lines and he has to take it on the chin most of the time. And it's important that you always remember, don't quit. Something cut that off. Okay, well, for some reason that keeps cutting out. So let's just get to it here. OPBC Online, a ministry of Old Paths Baptist Church. And I don't know why that audio keeps cutting out like that, but for some reason it does. But we won't worry about that because we'll just keep going. That's what we'll do. All right. So hopefully everything is working okay. So you tell me how everything sounds. I don't know why that keeps cutting out at that point. That's kind of odd, but hey, it happens. So we'll see how well the audio is working, and you tell me if it's coming in loud and clear. And we'll, Lord willing, keep going and talk about what we're going to talk about. We will pick up the false prophet, the wolves in sheep's clothing. We will pick that up on Monday, Lord willing. So we are going to talk about one of my favorite topics that really makes the devil mad, that really differentiates this ministry from most of them out there, and nails it and deals with it straight between the eyes. Pushes back against the modern trends of feminism, which has led into, by the way, feminism has led into the LGBTQ movement and its rise. Once woman stopped being defined as what God had said that she was, then what happened is you can define woman any way you want to. In fact, you can define man any way you want to. And that's what's happened. If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? That's a good question, isn't it? Because, see, I think this is one of the main proponents of what's wrong today, not only in our homes, not only in our churches, not only in our country, but it goes to the very fundamental fabric of all of society. It is really what is the ripple effect that has destroyed society. This ever-evolving doctrine of women in authority. And it is what the Bible calls female blasphemy. What it is. God calls it blasphemy. It is so damaging. It is so fundamentally destructive to the home, to the family, to your children. We have raised for 35 to 40 years the most unstable children in all of history. Literally, the most unstable children in all of history right now. Because of this fundamental fact. It is absolutely destroying society. You think it's the LGBTQ movement or those other... No. Go back to the foundations. When the Bible foundation of what a man and a woman is has been left, has evolved. If you've taken that to a level of evolution, and the doctrine of the man and the doctrine of the woman and the doctrine of marriage and the doctrine of the home has been trampled on and crushed and destroyed. Then what happens? You have no foundation and there's no place to go but hell. There isn't any place to go but hell. Down. That's where it goes. And all the nations that forget God. And that's where it is. That's where, that's what you, why? Because, see, woman was in an exalted position. You know when she was in an exalted position? When she shut her mouth and didn't lead and taught appropriately who she was supposed to teach. She didn't try to do her husband's job. She did the work that God had called her. She opened wide her mouth and did the work that God had called her to do. But now there's competition. Now there's competition. Now there's noise of war in the camp. That's what there is now. Now men and women are looked on upon each other as competition. Now there is disdain for biblical manhood, for men. Rough speaking, straightforward men. Why? Well, because we've redefined women. You know what the rise of the feminist movement has caused? I'll show you. This will be great. You ready? Let me show you. Okay, you ready? This. Here you go. Minnesota Democrat, right here, home in Minnesota. Isn't that great? Minnesota Democrat argues for menstrual products in boys' bathrooms. Not all who menstruate are females. Now that is the dumbest thing you could possibly say. But not really. Because this is what happens. This is the natural evolution of destroying the role of the sexes. This is the bossy woman syndrome. Where it leads. You know, when women started acting like men, that's when you kiss true feminism goodbye. Mm-hmm. You know how many women are over in the Ukraine fighting in a war over there? Yep. So they say, well, how could someone with a straight face bring legislation for this? Well, I'll tell you how. Because they redefined the roles of women a long time ago. This is what happens. This kind of stupidity is what happens when you put women in charge. That's what happens. This is the kind of stupidity when you put women in charge. How it works. When women are legislating in the government. But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. That the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, and patience. The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh a holiness. Not false accusers. Not false accusers. Not given to much wine, teachers of good things. That they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home. And hence the title here, Female Blasphemy. To be discreet, chaste, keepers at home. Good, obedient to their own husbands. That the word of God be not blasphemed. See, this is the deal right here. Any woman that is not following this gospel order, that has the opportunity to follow this gospel order, she has a husband, she has a father to take care of her. Anyone that is not is blaspheming God. That's what they're doing. That's what they're doing. They're blaspheming God. Isn't that amazing? And we see it all over the world. And we wonder why our country, you wonder why the dumbest things in the world happen in Congress? Happen with the suffrage move, the women's suffrage movement? Happen with the equality of the sexes? You want to know one of the dumbest things that ever happened? Letting women vote. Man, was that stupid. You want to talk about a dumb decision? Yep. Letting women vote. Foolish. It's what's brought about what our world is today, what our country is today. Because anything contrary to God's order is an evolution. It's an evolutionary principle. It's nothing but an evolutionary principle. Take, for instance, Beth Moore. Well, no, let's just take, for instance, this. Here's a good example. LGBTasylum.org. What are these? Two women standing up there. What are they pushing? Abortion and the murder of babies. Right? abortion and the murder of babies here. And churches, running churches, no less. So they do it through the political system and they do it through churches. And it was never supposed to be that way. There is so much feminism and so much feminism taught in churches today. They embrace it. They embrace feminism. It's embraced. It's never preached down. So when a guy like me stands up, squares his shoulders, and says, you know what? I ain't budging. You can run your loudmouth Jezebel voice all you want to, but if you think you're moving me, you got another thing coming. Just like God's men of old stood up and squared their shoulders and preached and stood up there and said, you know what? I don't care. Man, sir, why are you so loud? Somebody said here, I have headphones on. And now I have a headache. Good. Stir it up in them brains of yours. Maybe it'll push some testosterone if you're a man. And maybe you'll stand up and do something. If you're a woman, don't tell me how to preach. Keep your mouth shut. How about that? You know what I'm sick of? Women trying to tell me what to do. Women out there trying to tell a preacher how to preach. Walk it up and tell them that. Why don't you keep your silly mouth shut? Why don't you do that?
That's not very nice.
Yeah? Well, maybe you're supposed to be nice and maybe I'm supposed to be just straightforward.
Why do you have to be so loud?
Why can't you talk in sweet little voices like this? Why can't you just talk like this? Be really. Can't you just be like, just whisper and talk really? And if you would please, limp your wrists for me too? Would you just limp those wrists for me? Would you talk with a lisp and limp your wrist and have an effeminate spirit so I won't be offended by your manhood?
Yeah. Sorry. This ain't the channel for you. You can go over to the Reform channel, watch him talk like R.C. Sproul. I ain't R.C. Sproul. I don't talk like Ben Stein. Got it? It's not me. You're looking for that guy over there. You ain't looking for me. You go listen to that guy over there. You can listen to reruns of R.C. Sproul, bore you to death, make you want to gargle on glass. Or maybe you can go listen to the Catholic liturgy. Maybe that'll help you better. You know what I think is funny? All these people want to demand man. Oh, you can't speak like a man. You can't speak bold anymore. You can't say any of those things. I'm glad you like Paul Washer. You should go listen to him. That'd be great. Then you wouldn't have to be here worried about me. You could go be worried about him over there. And then you could eventually tell him how to preach too. And he'll listen to you about as much as I do. Anyway. Here's the point. We live in a society today that is fastly approaching an absolute hate for manhood. Absolute hatred for it. Just absolutely hate. Like pretty soon you're going to get to a point that you're already there pretty much. That every man, the way that they're not allowed to talk like a man. Why do you think Congress is the way it is? Why do you think these other institutions are the way that they are? Because they're infiltrated by women. women run them. That's why. And rebellious women don't want men to lead anything. Rebellious women don't want men to run anything. They don't want them to lead anything. They hate it. They hate biblical manhood. They hate men that stand up. They hate men that are firm. They hate men that are solid. They hate men that will stand up and lead. They hate men that differentiate between the sexes and tell you the difference between them and tell you that God made them a stark difference between man and woman. And it's not just body parts. It's not just privy members. There's a difference between man. There's a difference between woman. And there's a difference. And God says to celebrate those differences. God says to talk about those differences. God says to teach those differences, to make those distinctions clear. Simple. But which becometh women professing godliness with good works. By the way, this is what a woman is supposed to be. In like manner also that women adorn themselves in modest apparel with shamefacedness and sobriety. You know what shamefacedness is? Bashfulness. That's just not the way you dress. It's the way you talk. You want to know what the difference is? Let me tell you what I can't stand. And by the way, they can't stand me either. So the feeling's mutual. Okay, let me show you in Proverbs here. Here's the opposite of that bashful. Proverbs 7:11. Remember, the Bible says here, let the women learn in silence with all subjection. But I suffer not a woman to teach, nor to usurp authority over the man. Look what he says. Back up here. In like manner also that women adorn themselves in modest apparel with shamefacedness and sobriety. It's that shamefacedness, that bashfulness. So there, that's the opposite of being what Proverbs 7 says a strange woman is. Ready? And behold, there met him a woman with the attire of a harlot and subtle of heart. She is loud. So let me stop there and tell you. He is loud. See the difference? One is shamefaced with sobriety. You know what the attributes of a strange woman are? She's loud. Gotta have her voice heard. Gotta let you know. She is loud. That's the opposite of shamefaced with sobriety. Loud. Loud women. Loud voices. clamorous, noisy, a clamorous woman.
I'm a very outspoken woman.
No, the Bible says you're a loud woman. Speaking and repeating loud words, noisy, loud, turbulent. The opposite of feminine, the opposite of soft. She is loud. You ever met women like that? I have. They don't like me. They like to try to shout me down. They like to try to shout me down. Yep. They're not only loud, but along with the volume of their voice and along with the volume of what they do, they're stubborn. Very stubborn, Andrew. Andrew, just tuning in. Great ladies conference material. Yeah. I'm sure I'm going to get invited to the next ladies speaker conference. The ladies extravaganza or ladies conferences meetings, right? I'm going to get invited to the next one, right? Oh, that's funny. She is loud. And stubborn. You know what that word means? Doubtless formed on the root of stub or stiff. Unreasonable. You know what stubborn means? It's a woman that is unreasonable. In this context, speaking of the woman, she is loud. She is unreasonable. She is obstinate. She is inflexible, inflexibly fixed in opinion. Not to be moved or persuaded by reasons. Inflexible. As a stubborn son or a stubborn mind or soul. Cannot be reasoned with. Stubborn. So the first trait of that woman is her attire. But you know what? You can change your attire real easy. But you know what? You can't change your heart. She is loud. She is stubborn. You know what the third thing is? Her feet abide not in her house. Can't stay home. Got to be a busybody in other men's affairs. It's the opposite of the keeper at home. Do you see that? Do you see how Proverbs 7 and the strange woman is the opposite of the Titus 2 woman? Do you see the difference? This won't be preached on at your women's conference, I can guarantee you. But you know what? I could double up and say, let's just make it a marriage conference too. And I'll help you out with that too. Because this is how you have a happy marriage. Her feet abide not in her house. Now she is without, now in the streets. So you see some of these attributes of a strange woman Christian women can take on. Because they haven't been, it hasn't been repented of. It hasn't been weeded out. It hasn't been laid aside. And it takes years sometimes to let these attributes go. Takes some time. Right? Takes some time. It don't happen overnight. It takes a while to work those things out. It takes proper training because we are in a society today that does not teach these things. But that's why Paul addresses that. Right? If you look at that, check that out. Look what he says here. And with all, they learn to be idle. Wandering about from house to house. And not only idle, but tattlers also and busybodies. Speaking things which they ought not. So they're tattlers, constantly tattling. They're busybodies. I have an outline that I wanted to start on that. I'll do that sometime. But I'll just preach some of it now. That's okay. Tattlers also and busybodies. Speaking things which they ought not. They ought not to speak those things. Why? Because their mouth ought to be shut. And opened in the areas that God has given them to speak in. Let me tell you something. The Apostle Paul warned about this for a reason. You want to know one of the main reasons why Paul warned about this? Because women cause a lot of heartache in churches. They do. They cause a lot of challenges. They cause a lot of heartache. That's exactly what they do. That's why Paul warned them about their mouth so much. Stop running your mouth. Get busy and quit running your mouth. And with all, they learn to be idle, wandering about from house to house, and not only idle, but tattlers also and busybodies, speaking things which they ought not. That's why Paul warned of the younger women. I will therefore that the younger women marry, bear children, guide the house. That should be their main focus. Look at the order in which it was given. The order is always their husband. Why? Because women need a man to rule over them. I'm going to say that again for some of you to understand. Women need a man to rule over them. absolutely 100% need a man to rule over them. Need it. Why? Because they get in trouble real easy. And most of the time, it's with their mouth. But don't take my word for it. Look what God said. You know, Eve got to run in her mouth and talk into the serpent, right? That worked out well, didn't it? By the way, she had all this knowledge. She had all this gnosis. She wanted this desire for knowledge and wisdom. And she thought up things in her brain. And she was deceived by the devil. Because women in any leadership position will be deceived. I'm going to say that to you again. Any woman that takes the leadership position will be deceived. They will be. It's guaranteed. Unto the woman, he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow, thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. I mean, some women can think up some whoppers. I mean, some of the craziest things I've ever heard are from women. Some of the most damnable heresies that I've ever heard have come from the heart of a woman. Some of the most insane ideas I've heard in this Christian life have been pastoring women and listening to their reason of why they think something is a really good idea. Have been from women. Man, I've had them tell me all kinds of crazy things. They got the gift of discernment, and they got the gift of this, and they got the gift of that. Then they're telling me stories about devils pushing them down the steps and all kinds of other crazy things. And I was standing there, and the devil came and pushed me down the step. Yeah, I don't think that was the devil. I think you tripped. It's not the devil of imbalance. It's just your imbalance. Right? I've had them tell me how much wisdom and discernment they have while they're literally entertaining witchcraft. And they tell me how wise they are. And you dumb pastor, what do you think you know? Anyway, I have the gift of discernment and wisdom. Oh, yeah, I forgot. What was I thinking? You have the gift of wisdom and discernment. What was I thinking? I mean, I should have thought about that. Why didn't I? Right? I should have thought about the gift of wisdom and discernment, shouldn't I? What's the matter with me? Okay, anyway. My shoes are in. Great. Fast shipping. Anyway, sorry about that. But wisdom and discernment, right? They have all the wisdom and discernment that they need. Mm-hmm. But the Bible says that they're to be ruled over. They're not to rule. Do you see the difference? women are not to rule. Just like this thread, I really hope you're all paying attention because you're telling stories about everything and their mother, and I have no idea what any of you are talking about. I really hope you're paying attention to what I'm trying to teach. My goodness. Anyway, I'm just going to keep going. All right. I'll just keep going. Okay. Anything's easier than listening to this, I can guarantee you. Okay, here we go. This is what God said in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 14. Actually, we'll back up. In like manner also, that the women adorn themselves in modest apparel with shame faces and sobriety. Not with broided hair, gold, or pearls, or costly array, but which becometh women professing godliness with good works. Women professing godliness with good works. Professing godliness with good works. Let the women learn in silence with all subjection, but I suffer not a woman to teach, nor to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. Silence. Total opposite of what this world teaches a woman to be. You know, I'm just curious, you that are out there, what are you teaching your daughters to be? What do you teach them by your words? And what do you teach them by your actions? Are you teaching them to be a God-fearing woman that is in subjection to their God-fearing husband? Or are you teaching them to be loud and stubborn? Good question. But which becometh women professing godliness with good works? But I suffer not a woman to teach, nor to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. Be in silence. For Adam was first formed, then Eve. And Adam was not deceived. But the woman being deceived was in the transgression. The woman was deceived. She was deceived. That's why women aren't to be leaders. Because number one, God's order is a man to lead a woman. Number two, women are easily deceived. I can't tell you, man, I had this woman write me a letter. After I helped this woman, our church helped her. Both financially, helped her move. Was a blessing to her and everything else. Lied to me on three or four different occasions. And then, not faithful to church, doesn't attend church, skips out, makes excuses, and then writes me a letter telling me that God was leading her to leave the church, not be in church, not be in that church, our church, but God was leading her to leave the church. And that was just it. She was doing it. I'm like, well, that's interesting. So God never led you to talk to your pastor about it? God never led you to get prayer about it? God never led you to leave the right way and say goodbye to people that loved you and cared for you? Really? So God just led you to do that? God led you to write a letter? Send it off and just, that's what God led you to do, huh? Really? So God led you God led you against his word. You know how many women have told me that God has led them against God's word? I've had men tell me that too. But how many women have told me that God has led them against his word? And they mistaken their feelings for God. Same woman that told me they have the gift of wisdom and discernment. Same women that try to tell me that, oh, I'm going to make a deal with God. Me and God, we got a deal going here. Really? Because I don't have any deals going with God. He's my Lord, and I serve him. And what he says in his book, I am required to do. But they got wisdom and discernment. By the way, I'll tell you another thing. Rebellious women are the hardest people that you'll ever try to help or pastor anything else. And single women are the hardest people that you'll ever try to pastor or help. They will be the greatest challenges. Why is that? Because they're void of human authority of a husband or a father in their life. And older women, same thing, that have not ever had strong leadership, male leadership, good male leadership. I don't have a nursery staff. Don't need one. The only thing a nursery's for is a mother to cover her breast while she's nursing a baby. Other than that, you don't need a staff for anything. Take care of your own babies. They're yours. God gave them to you. Take care of your babies. Nurse your children, take care of them, and teach them how to behave. We've been doing it for probably 12, 13 years at Old Paths Baptist Church. And guess what? Parents actually learn to be parents. Ain't that a novel idea? Ain't that a novel idea that you nurse your own baby and take care of your own kid? Drop somebody else's child off and make somebody else take care of them. This ain't the public school. You think the Lord's church is a public school? No, it's the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of the truth. I wouldn't be a pastor worth spit if I needed to teach you to go to have some nursery take care of your children. Really? You can't take care of your own children? You can't make them mind? You can't teach them to obey? Well, we have to hide the children away because they cry. I know, Pinky Sue, most people don't think of it, so I'm not picking on you. We've abdicated all of our responsibilities into everything else. And then we're not even responsible for ourselves now. That's the society that we're growing up in, that we're watching, that we're seeing firsthand. Hey, and I know this one thing. The things that I say and preach about these topics, they go against the grain. Because most of your fundamentalist pastors don't believe these things. They don't follow these things, and they don't believe them. And they don't like them. Because they're uncomfortable. It's uncomfortable to teach parents to be parents. It's uncomfortable to hear babies crying in the service. It's uncomfortable for some of them. Oh, it might distract the Holy Ghost from working. No, I think he's fine. God's spirit isn't afraid of babies crying. Now, maybe you can't out-preach that baby's tears. That might be true, but that's another story there, princess. It's like a Catholic doctrine of the sanctuary. The sanctuary shall not be used for babies to be there. It is the sanctuary. Really? What are you, Roman Catholic? No wonder why our children have such a hard time. Think about our children today. Think about what they go through, most of the children in the world today. They're taught that it's better that they're not seen and they're not heard. So you give them a device to distract them and get them off on their way. And you go to church and everybody splits in 10 different directions. Nobody's around each other. Nobody knows each other. No one knows what your child's doing. And they don't even grow up to know their pastor either. The one that's supposed to be watching for their soul. Because some youth director's playing jump rope with them out in the parking lot. Which, by the way, I don't have a problem playing jump rope either with some of the children. But here's the point. They don't know their own pastor. They don't hear the same sermon. They don't hear the same message. They don't go home talking about the same things. And what is most of it? Honestly, most of it is a fundamental difference in the way that churches today look at the role of a woman. They don't even have the same things going on. And now you have it to where Boy Scouts are infiltrated by Girl Scouts. Why? Well, because we don't have an order of the sexes anymore. So these women right here are running churches, and now all the doctrine is effeminate. It's false. It's Jezebel doctrine. And by the way, some of you women think that life is supposed to be like that, that men aren't supposed to be strong, men aren't supposed to take the lead. Men aren't supposed to stand up. Men aren't supposed to say anything straightforward. Men aren't supposed to be bold. Right? They don't like that. They don't want men leading. And it's filled the churches now. It's filled them. So our churches are filled not only with people who do, and my people love to have it so. Not only like this. Not only with women like that. Right? It's everywhere. And it has this Jezebel spirit about it. Female leadership over men is absolutely sinful. As for my people, children of their oppressors and women rule over them. O my people, they which lead thee cause thee to err and destroy the way of thy paths. Look what it says in verse 9 of that chapter. The show of their countenance doth witness against them, and they declare their sin as Sodom. They hide it not. Woe unto their soul, for they have rewarded evil unto themselves. Say ye to the righteous that it shall be well with them, for they shall eat of the fruit of their doings. Woe unto the wicked, it shall be ill with them, for the reward of his hands shall be given him. As for my people, children are their oppressors, and women rule over them. Pastor, my old church was Seventh-day Adventists, said one, and I was ignorant at the time. But it had a deluded female pastor who was into Bethel, Hillsong, idolized Disney films. Yes. By the way, no man should sit under female leadership. And you have to work, and some of you are going to have female bosses. That's out of your control for the most part. But religiously speaking, in the churches, there should never be any man that sits under female leadership. I'm talking about in the church, in like committees or deaconesses or any of these other things. All of those. All of them. There shouldn't be any of that. No way. It is absolutely fundamentally wrong. And in your homes, in your homes, your husband should be leading your home. Your husband should be the leader. That home is his castle. You shouldn't expect your husband to run around and do womanly duties in the house. You shouldn't be expecting your husband to run around like he's a woman and have to, he should do his fair share in the home. Where do you see that in the Bible? Where do you see Adam? Where do you see Abraham sweeping out the tent? Where do you see Abraham going into the kitchen and cooking? I mean, there's nothing wrong with cooking. He cooked the meat outside over the fire. So there's nothing wrong with that. The Bible says a man can wipe a dish. I get it. But primarily, what is the duty of a husband? It's to provide for his family. It's not to come home and be the wife. The duty of a husband is not to come home and be a wife. Neither is it the duty of a woman to go provide. That's great, Jenny. I hope that works out well for you all. So the man isn't supposed to be the one that is doing all that work in the home. The woman is. She's the one that's to be doing most of that. And by the way, if that bothers you, you're a feminist. If you don't like that, you're a feminist. And by the way, here's another thing. If you don't like that, you're a blasphemer. If you don't like God's order, then you're a blasphemer. You're committing the sin of female blasphemy. Because that's what it is. It's female blasphemy. That's what that is. That's not very popular today, is it? It's not popular speech. Pastor, that's not very popular. You're not gonna grow your ministry like that. It's not very popular to say things like that. That a man should be the man of his home and he shouldn't come home and have to be the woman of the house. Where do you see in the Bible where the man is supposed to come home and he's supposed to be the man of the house and or the woman of the house and he's supposed to clean up the house and do all those other things that a woman does? And yes, that is woman's work. Yes, it is women's work. The cleaning and the taking care of the clothes and the laundry and all those other things. All that stuff. The caring for the home. Where does it say in the Bible where he's supposed to go ahead and take care of that? The Bible says his work is outside of the home. Her work is inside of the home in the family structure. Managing his affairs from the home front. Fabian says, you're so mean, Pastor. I know. Keepers at home. That's the work of a woman. That's part of the reason you get married, is to have a woman that you can provide for and love and care for and provide a home for, and that she stays home and makes sure that that home is the way it's supposed to be and that the children are taken care of and she has babies. Right? She has babies. This is just simple. This is simple biblical. Are you telling? I didn't say it. God said it. And by the way, lady, if you're not doing it, you're blaspheming God. I don't care if you're sitting on your roost all day there at home, but if you're not doing the duties that God has called you to do, you are blaspheming God. Just like that man, if he doesn't provide for his own, is worse than an infidel. You're a blasphemer. If you don't stay home and do the work that God has called you to do, and you don't care for your husband's estate, and you don't care for the home, and you don't care for those things, you're a blasphemer. Jody Hammond said, I worked part-time, cooked, kept a tidy home, kept an acre yard nice, and my ex wanted me to work full-time on top of that. That's unfortunate that he wasn't a man. It's really unfortunate that your ex-husband couldn't be a man and take care of his wife. That he expected you to provide for him. That's unfortunate that he expected you to provide for him. It should be the other way around. And by the way, that's what happens when you marry men that don't follow the scriptures. If you marry men that don't follow the scriptures, that's going to happen. And that's why I preach what I do. That's the reason I preach what I do. So men stand up and care for their wives and provide. And then the woman takes care of the home, guides the home. Look what the Bible says. It says, I will therefore that the younger women marry, bear children, guide the house. Your duty is to guide the house, to manage it, to guide it along, to give none occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully. That you don't give Satan, your adversary, an occasion, or others that are the enemies of God, that blaspheme God. Right? It's the same as that, give occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully. That's the same definition. That right there is the same definition of blasphemy. To speak reproachfully against God. Amen, Fabian. Glad your two daughters and their husbands are God-fearing people. And Jody, there really are a lot of rotten men out there. A lot of rotten men out there that don't want to take care of their wives. Don't want to take care of their children. But see, a lot of them are so ignorant. Man, they'd get mad at me and want to punch me in the face for saying that to them. Because I just look at them and say, hey, what? You come to this church, I'll tell you flat out. You better be man enough to take care of your wife, because you're going to hear that preaching all the time. This is one of those churches. So if you come to be a member here and you don't want to take care of your wife, and you have the ability to take care of your wife, and you won't do it, or you don't do it, well, you won't like me very much. And they don't. They never do. They turn on me, make videos about me, say all kinds of wicked things about me, lie about me, everything else. Why? Because they don't want to do what they're supposed to do. Same thing with Jezebel women that like to run their mouth. They do that stuff too because they don't want to do what they're supposed to do. They like to run their mouth. Only this dog barks. I ain't a dumb dog. I bark. Amen. I'm not one of those dumb dogs that don't bark. And remember, the dogs are the one that licked up the blood of Jezebel. That's how that works. But isn't that the truth? Isn't that how it is? That's why the Bible's very clear about that. Now you have, let's move into the arena of politics. Now you have a nation being ran by women everywhere. Take this governor. This vice president. Kamala Harris. So you got Kamala right here. Well, you don't like her, but you might like this one, though. A lot of people like this one because she's pro-life, she's conservative, she's this, she's that, and you might like her. Well, I say you're a hypocrite if you like her and you don't like the other lady. Because they're doing the exact same thing, rebellion. You just like her platform a little more than you do the other ones. But you're still okay with her disobeying God. Right? You're still okay with her disobeying God and teaching others to do so. This is why I can't vote for these people. I can't stomach it. I can't vote for them. I can't vote for female politicians. And they all claim to be Christians. Most of these women that, like her, claim to be a Christian. They claim to be, under God, the people rule. That's what happened. Men stopped leading. Men stopped ruling. Right? Men stopped ruling and leading, and now you have a nation full of women running them. Our country literally is ran by a bunch of crazy women and crazy, crazy men, too, for that matter. But in important places, we have women running them, women running the show. If I showed you an army, and I don't remember. Oh, I did show you that day with Andrew. When Andrew did a broadcast with me, I did show you that. They had these two lesbians with this lady with two moms, so to speak. And she is in a military recruiting ad, right? And then you go look at a Chinese military recruiting ad, and it's like, oh man, we're toast. We are so dead. We are so absolutely dead. You got these women that can't even jump over something. And then you got these Chinese universal soldiers, man. We're dead. We're so dead. You have a nation of effeminate men, Jezebel women, ruling in every aspect everywhere. It's just everywhere. And this is what we face. So naturally, when men speak abruptly, when men speak straightforward, a lot of women don't like it. They don't like it at all. Why? Because they're not used to it. They're used to marriage being a partnership. Well, marriage is a partnership. It's 50-50 partnership. No, it isn't. You're not a 50-50 partner with Christ. God says what marriage is, and it's not a partnership. It says in Ephesians chapter 5 what marriage is. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife. Does that sound like a partnership to you? Does that sound like a partnership to you? For the husband is the head of the wife. Even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the savior of the body. So a husband is the head of his wife. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Well, that's not very popular. So the Bible instructs us that, okay, so you're a husband and you're the head. So husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. And his duty is to sanctify and to cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. What's the opposite of this? The woman not being subject to her own husband and her thinking that because she's married, she's entitled to say anything she wants, do anything she wants, run her mouth anywhere she wants, cause problems for her husband wherever she wants, be a loud, stubborn woman when she wants. To act outside of her husband's authority if she wants. Or worse, to write things in her husband's name and manipulate her husband. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it. A lot of men that don't lead their wives, and a lot of wives that buck against their husband's leadership. They buck against his authority. They buck against his headship. Very common. By the way, if you ask any of these politicians if they believe any of this and they say they're Christians, they're going to tell you no way they believe in this. No way. believe this, but they claim to be Christians. Really? Do you believe the husband is the head of the wife? Even as Christ is the head of the church? Do you believe that? Ask them that. Ask these politicians if they believe that. Then you'll know whether they're Christians or not. Do you believe this? Do you believe what God's word says about this? Do you live it? Well, I can guarantee you. She ain't no Christian. She don't believe that. She ain't no Christian. She don't believe that. She ain't no Christian. She don't believe that. He ain't no Christian. He don't believe that. She definitely don't believe that. These people believe that. See if I can find a picture of him. I had it. I can't find him right now, but anyway. They believe that. These politicians don't believe that. These female preachers don't believe that. And by the way, a lot of people in fundamental Baptist churches don't believe that either. They don't live it. They don't practice it. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church and is the savior of the body. He is the savior of the body. That he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. That he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. Men are commanded to love their wives because they are head over their wives. So they are commanded to operate that headship in love. He that loveth his wife loveth himself, for no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. Brandy, I'm glad they've been a blessing to you. I'm glad she said, I love your teaching on the series of Menace of Feminism and the family ones too. Praise the Lord. I'm glad. We're warned about that. Peter warns about that. Okay, let's see here. Peter talks about that. This one. Likewise, you wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives, while they behold your chaste conversation. Coupled with fear. Chaste. Whose adorning, let it not be that outward adorning of the plaiting of hair, and of wearing of gold and of putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart, and that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. For after this manner in the old time, the holy women also who trusted in God adorned themselves, being in subjection to their own, under their own husbands. Holy women. A man's duty is to love his, to lead his wife and to love his wife. A wife's duty is to love her husband and to submit to her husband. For after this manner, in the old time, the holy women also who trusted in God adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands. Even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord. Let's look at that word. Master. A husband. Look at that. Webster's third definition. Webster's third definition is a husband, as a lord. A master or person possessing supreme power and authority, a ruler or a governor. So a husband is a lord. He is a ruler. Do you realize that? Do you understand that? Do you understand that that is what he is saying? That Peter is instructing you, you women, the holy women also who trusted in God. Look at that. For after this manner, in the old time, the holy women also, they were holy women also who trusted in God. Not who trusted that their husbands were perfect and they never did anything wrong and they always did everything right. No. He said, who trusted in God? Those holy women who trusted in God. Adorn themselves, being in subjection to their own husbands. See that? Being in subjection to their own husbands. They trusted God. That's why they were in subjection to their own husbands. And if you walk by faith and you believe God, then you will have a godly subjection to your own husband. See that? For after this manner in the old time, the holy women also, who trusted in God, adorn themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands. Even as Sarah obeyed Abraham. See what godly subjection is? It's obedience. Look at that. The Bible says that godly subjection is obedience. That's what it is. It's to obey your husband. I want to ask you ladies something. Does that bother you? When you see what that says there, does that bother you to obey your husband? Does that bother you? That the Bible tells you that you're to be in godly subjection and that godly that godly subjection. That godly subjection is defined as obedience. Calling him Lord. Calling him Lord. That's what she called him. She recognized his lordship over her. Sarah recognized Abraham's lordship over her. His rulership. Over her. Think about that, calling him Lord. Could you imagine the average feminist today hearing that? Subjection, obedience. Subjection, obedient. How about we take these words? For after this manner. So let's take these words. Number one, the holy women. I want you to do this. If you're taking notes, I want you to take them like this. One, holy women. Two, trusted in God. Three, adorn themselves. Four, being in subjection unto their own husbands. Five, even as Sarah obeyed. Six, calling him Lord. Whose daughters ye are, as long as you do well and are not afraid with any amazement. Then he gives the instructions to the husband. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them. Look at the order there. Likewise, ye husbands, for you men, for us men out there as husbands, look what we can do. Likewise, or we're commanded to do. Likewise, ye husbands, likewise, ye husbands. Hey, Hannah, Grandpa keeps calling me. I don't know if Gideon got a hold of Grandpa's phone or what, but he keeps calling me. He's called me like six times. Likewise, ye husbands, number one, dwell with them according to knowledge. What does that mean? Dwelling with them according to knowledge, number one, for a man, for a husband. It means that I learn my wife's heart and teach her what she needs to know. I dwell with them according to knowledge. Right? Giving, so number one, men, you dwell with them according to knowledge, learning their heart, learning the woman's heart, right? Number one, dwell with them according to knowledge. Number two, give honor unto the wife. You know what that means? You know what honor is? It's maintenance. It's care. The Bible says the bishop is worthy of double honor. So that maintenance and that care and that love, giving honor unto the wife. I honor her, I care for her, I love her as unto the weaker vessel. And as being heirs, so number one, dwell with them according to knowledge. Number two, give honor unto the wife. Give honor unto the wife, recognizing as unto the weaker vessel. Recognizing her and understanding that she is the weaker vessel. Three, that she is the weaker vessel. And four, as being heirs together of the grace of life. A man is supposed to treat his wife as she is an heir together of the grace of life. That's his duty. And five, that your prayers be not hindered. That your prayers be not hindered. That's what the Bible says. That's what the duty of a husband is. That's what the duty of the wife is. Right? Breaking those things down and understanding our responsibilities to God. Somebody said, put in, Pinky Sue said, putting in, put in the according to God into the obey message. Well, I can't change what God said. But obviously, no wife is to do wickedness. That goes without saying. Pinky Sue, I'll be honest with you. You Pentecostals got a big problem with godly subjection to man. I mean, big problem. Because that whole outfit is ran by a bunch of loudmouth, charismatic women that like to run their mouth. They don't like being in subjection to a man because they got that Jezebel spirit in their leadership. Thought she should get, I don't know, something her husband because he was her head. All the only supreme authority in this world is God's word. God's word is always a supreme authority over everything. Obedience to God is overall. Obedience to God's word is overall. But what we're talking about here is a godly subjection. That we find in the scriptures. It's God's message to us. And you know why so many marriages are having so many problems? And you know why so many churches are having so many problems? And our country is ran by a bunch of crazy women? And now we don't know what a man is and we don't know what a woman is? Well, probably because we redefined it all the way back before. It's been redefined. All of it has been redefined to mean something completely different. And that's what we have everywhere now. Now there's no respect for authority. Now there's no respect for husbands. I'm telling you, man. I've seen some of the people. I've seen some of these women. And it downright scares me to think that somebody has to be married to that and to deal with some of the things they deal with. I know God gave me the woman he did for a reason. And neither one of us are perfect, but we sure want to be. And we sure want to serve God. And we sure want to be faithful to God. But I'll tell you what, when I look at some of the things that I see women do and how they talk to their husbands and how they treat other people and how they act, it's shocking to me. And today you have a total disregard for men. Total disregard. What a bunch of Fruit Loops. Here come the spammers. Here come the spammers. What a bunch of devils. Making them mad. Yeah, here come the trolls. Got to come on in for the attack, right? Somebody said, you love men. Sure I do. I'm supposed to love men, aren't I? I'm supposed to love you. I'm supposed to love you. I'm supposed to love my enemies. But see, our definition of love is what is different. My effeminate enemy. Our definition of love is what? Is what God says, and it worketh not that which is unseemly. Unseemly is wicked sodomy. Bunch of weirdos. Everywhere you go, there's always one, two, or ten. They follow me around. They like to attack me. It's fun for them. But I'm kind of used to being attacked. It happens pretty much every day, wherever I go and whatever I do in that sense.
March on, march on, follow the mighty commander. March on, Jesus our captain and Lord.